Welcome back to Inside the Show. I'm your host, Scuffy, alongside Cougs, and we got a special guest today joining us. As you see in the middle screen, we got Skimble joining us on today's episode, which we'll be bringing him in, asking little questions. But Cougs, it's been a fun week. We had an eventful week, and what I mean by eventful week, which is going to be the main topic for today, is the summer circuit. And we were going to have a lot of stuff to talk about, from going ESL to Battlefy, and then get our special guest today, get some questions from him, see, because he actually played over this past weekend. But before we do that, Cougs, let's bring in the man himself, Michael Skimbo. Welcome to Inside the Show. How's it going, bud?
Man, it's going good. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. Before we get into it, thank you to the MLB community, because they've honestly been open arms to me since the 5 or 6 months I've been streaming this game. And man, you know, this community is awesome. I tweet about it all the time. This is a really awesome community, and I think they deserve more, to be honest. But I appreciate you having me on.
Of course. I mean, we wanted to hook up for the last couple of weeks, and I'm always intrigued of when, say, because you mainly played Madden before moving to MLB. I always loved getting the aspect and the mind thought of moving from one particular game to another. But before we get to that, I just want to, how did you start, like, actually playing video games, and even that competitively? Because that's going to be the main topic today, especially with the summer circuit happening over the past weekend. So I just want to jump right into it. Like, how did it all get started? Give me the 101, I guess.
Gotcha. I've told this story so many times in Madden. There's a lot of stuff out there about this, but this is how it started. Didn't play a lot of video games growing up. Stopped when I was about 14, focused on baseball. I told you I played with and against guys like Dylan Bundy and Archie Bradley. I was a left-handed pitcher. I went to college to pitch. You know, I could have gone the JUCO route, but my mom, and thank goodness she did this, she forced me to take this full ride academic scholarship just in case of injury, because I had 2 labrum tears before this. I was kind of, you know, I was on my last leg. And I go to college, man, that first year grinding, you know, left-handed pitcher at the time. Nowadays, these guys are throwing like at least 94 plus. It's crazy, the velo, because 10, 15 years ago, you know, as a left-hand pitcher, I was throwing about 85, 86. I'm like, man, you know, if I can get 4 or 5 miles per hour more, you know, I might have a shot to do something. But I end up tearing my arm the first, like, week I went to college. Switched hands and played college tennis, believe it or not. I did. So, but what happened was, in the dorm rooms, you know, when you're in college, you either study a lot or you get in trouble. And I like to get in trouble. And so we were in the dorm rooms, and my boys were playing video games, and I'm such an addict. When these dudes would fall asleep, I didn't have an Xbox. I would sneak into their dorm room in the middle room, and I would grind just to beat these kids at Madden. That was how it all started. I would literally just the competition to beat my friends. It just drove me crazy. I entered tournaments. Next thing I know, I'm actually halfway decent at Madden. I win some tournaments, and then you just become a pro just like that, I guess. You know, you just win some tournaments, you're considered a pro. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Now, if correct me if I'm wrong, you had 3 MCU belts, MCS.
Yeah. So I won the big one in 17, the $100,000 tournament, and then 18 and 19. Unfortunately, they only give out 4 belts every year. I won one in 18, 19. Unfortunately, the first term of the year, the prize pool's not a lot, so these were only like $30,000 or whatever. And, you know, because some dudes were winning $100,000, $150,000 for their belts, and so the first belt I won, they considered me the best in the world that year. And then 18, 19, I was like top 5 or something. But yeah, I've won 3 belts. Yep.
Hey, that's good. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, MCS is the Madden, pretty much esports competitive scene, and where the best of best go at it. What I always loved about Madden and watching that and getting hooked on it is the live events and actually seeing you guys be in the same room. We talked this in the past. We had Kyle last season where we talked about this, how much we would love to see that for MLB. But give me that atmosphere. Give me how that feels of not just seeing through a screen on being at home in your room, looking at your opponent, playing your opponent, but actually being side by side and the intensity and the atmosphere it brings to the table when playing competitively in a video game.
It's intense, dude. It's awesome. it's you know, you're playing the dudes right there. You can give them a look. You can do something. Like, you know what I mean? You can say, like, we have our headphones on. Like, you see the headphones, right? They have white noise. We can hear everything we're saying. We get those ain't walking out.
It's
no noise.
White noise. I thought you always played, like, music.
You have music, and then the big, like, these headphones are white noise. So you have AirPods underneath, and then you have the white noise with the EA stuff. And you're supposed to be able not to be able to hear each other. Dude, we hear each other. Like, and we're talking trash and it's fun. And now it used to be, actually, I don't know if you've seen old days, it used to be a lot crazier back in the day because people were around you while you played and people were literally just on you while you played the game. Like, you had no breathing room. People were in your ear just talking all the time. And then EA, you know, smart by EA, we don't want anything crazy to happen in fights because there's a lot of fights and a lot of crazy stuff I've seen. And, but you know, it's still a good atmosphere playing live. Like, you know, it's pretty cool. And you know what's the craziest thing is when you play in a finals, it doesn't even feel like a game anymore because you have an admin coming up to you who's like, all right, pause. Like, you're mid play, pause. We need to run a commercial. It's like you have to have so much focus in a finals. Oh, dude, it's a show. And at the end of the day, it is a show, right? We are the entertainment. You know, yes, we are competing for, you know, a lot of money. But I'm telling you right now, the finals, it is, you have to be so focused when you make it to a finals because there's so much other stuff going on around you. You got actually, you used to have real fans in the crowd. Now they hired fake fans that go crazy. And then you're just like I said, you have an admin coming up to you. He's like, hey, hit pause. I'm like, I'm in the middle of a kicking a ball or a play. I'm like what? Like, but okay. But yeah, anyways, the live events are crazy. I wish MLB did something like this. I really did.
I do. Cougs, how would you feel about that? Like, imagine you like have a 3-2 pitch coming up. Hey, wait, we're over time. We got to pause it. Give you another minute on a 3-2 pitch, like a crucial bat. How do you feel about that, Cougs?
I grew up going to like Call of Duty events, like LAN events where, you know, they're competing and they're playing for money. And just the energy at these LAN events is awesome. So I'm all for an in real life event where two of the best in MLB The Show are going at it. I think that would be huge because we haven't done anything like that. Anything in MLB The Show for the entirety of its esports existence has all been online play. And just that extra element of having the other person physically there across from you, you know, and you know, you're both competing with money on the line and a bunch of people watching. It's just, it adds a whole nother layer to the whole thing. So I'm all for that. But I actually have a question for you, Skimbo, when you were talking about, you know, winning the belts and stuff. And you said for 1 year, you were considered the best in the world. What is that feeling like when you're playing a game that thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people are playing, and you know you are the number one person in the world? What is that feeling like going forward? Does it make you more hungry to keep that spot? Is it easy to get complacent in that spot? What is that type of feeling like?
You know, it makes me more hungry, to be honest. And it makes me upset I wasn't as good as in the next years. You know, again, I won tournaments. You know, I'm the only one that's won three of these things. And, you know, it makes me upset I wasn't better the next year. It's a great feeling, dude. People ask me, do you ever get sick of playing the same game over and over, right? That's a popular question. You ever get sick of playing Madden, you know? And I'm going to be honest. The answer was no. Because when you're considered one of the best in the world, like the best in the world, how does that not drive you to stay there? Like, I don't understand that. Like, there's some Madden players, honestly, that are considered like one of the best in the world, and then the next year they just don't care. Like, I don't know. Everyone has a different mentality, you know, Mamba mentality, you know, all that stuff. I don't know, man. It's just there's something about being number one. Like, I don't know why you would ever want to give that up. And it actually pisses me off that I did give it up. And it makes me just want to grind even more the next year and the next year and the next year. And it's a great feeling. But I will say this. I love it when Madden's over in the season because I'm grinding that game 10 to 12 hours a day. And I think it comes out in August. And our season basically ends in about April or May. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Before I started streaming from May to August, I was on a boat every day fishing with my dad. Like, just, I didn't play video games for 4 or 5 months. I didn't touch them because I knew I was about to put in the freaking time to get to that level. But to answer your question, it's a great feeling. And, you know, I just want it even more the next year.
Now, that's a perfect time to like transition because now you have transitioned to MLB. Yep. So yep. How did that, for like, Did you just want to jump into it and just like see what happens because you recently start streaming, or just like you always played you played baseball in your life, so maybe just give this a full shot and see how it goes?
And I'm a baseball guy. I know I've won belts playing Madden. I stopped playing Madden in high, or Madden football in high school, like my freshman year. I focused on basketball and baseball. But I'm a baseball guy, dude. Like, I love it, man. Like, I got the terminology. Like, I had great coaches. One of my coaches in high school, he's actually in the Hall of Fame. Like, like top high school coach of the year one year. Like, I had really good coaching. So I love baseball. And it was just an easy transition. It reminded me of real sports. Like, we always talk about what separates us people that stream and play video games to real life. Like, dude, we have a real life. We've been around. And in real life, the perfect balance is being a football and being a baseball player, because you have that winter break to get your off season in for baseball. And after baseball's done, you have that summer break to get ready for football. You know, for me, you know, I played basketball, so that was my winter. But I love the transition. It feels like literally the most perfect time. And right now, I think, how long has MLB been out? About 4 or 5 months. And Madden's coming back around. It's just like the perfect transition, because I'm going to flow right into Madden.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So you started streaming MLB for 20 before you go into 21. And it looks like you fell in love with BR, just like how I fell in love with BR. And how has that experience been, just like actually playing the game and feeling that, like, because BR, it could be you love the mode one day, and then the next day you like, okay, what am I doing? Why am I continuing this? But it gives that competitive feel for me, at least the adrenaline, because you're trying to go on that streak. And did that fulfill like what you needed from MLB The Show?
Yeah, I love it. But first off, before I answer that question, you know, when I talk about love and BR, I hang out with three dudes in the community a lot. The TikTok sensation, Little Man, DGoss15 and Gunsky. We talk every night in the Discord for 4 to 5 hours. Like, for the last 3 or 4 months, those are like the dudes. Like, we're in a Discord and we just chop it up. Like, those guys have been so welcoming to me. And being a competitive player, I will say this. I love BR. I love it. I think it's fun. I think it's a great mode, very casual-ish. But when it comes to an esport and it comes to game time, it should not be an esport. Just too crazy, you know?
No, not at all.
It shouldn't be three innings for an esport. I know it's more exciting. Listen, it's all about excitement, though. I get that. You don't want to put viewers to sleep. But if I was a competitive MLB, guys, I'm wanting 9 innings so I can find a way to get it done if something fluky happens, not those 3 innings where he finds the bat and I get fluked, you know? So I will speak. I'm not a competitive MLB guy, so I don't want to speak for him because I'm sure they have different opinions than me. But from a Madden guy looking in, I would have to say – I would love for MLB to continue being an esport. I would love for it to be 9 innings. Yes, it's a little boring, but you know, that's just my opinion on it. But with the BR mode, I love it. It's such a great. It's just an enjoyable mode. Yeah, you can get upset, but for streaming purposes, it's great for streaming. So much more excitement, so much more walk-offs. Oh, yeah. The games are just going, like the walk-offs, the 12-0 runs. You know, when you build a run, you know, my viewer count, like what, 150, 200, when I'm 4-0, 5-0. When I get to that 8-0, the viewers are there, the chat's more active, you know. It's great content. So that's another reason why I love BR.
You pretty much put the words in my mouth too. I'm exactly what you said. It's just that's where I get it from. The adrenaline. Once you build up that run, there's nothing like it. It's still the best feeling to go 12-0 than making, say, World Series right now. In my book for MLB The Show.
And drafting a team is really fun. Let's just be honest. We love drafting us some teams. It's great. I love it.
Yes, even though if it takes 30 to 40 minutes, it takes a while for me sometimes, I love drafting teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because last night I have this custom league run by myself and Spoiler, and we do a fantasy draft for DD. We have 26 other guys. Last night, just drafted in team, and it just gave me that like extra like feeling of BR, but doing it from the whole inventory, which was quite a fun. Even though that now I kind of want, as you were bringing up, how is it going to be 9 innings for like if from Madagon looking in, it's going to be 9 innings for competitive, what you like to see in competitive. We did get our first esports event, and that was the Summer Circuit. That was this past weekend. It's no longer on ESL. We heard a lot about ESL and feedback for the past 2 years. Now it's on Battlefy. Before I get into the Summer Circuit, I just wanted to say some stuff for feedback already for Battlefy. I actually really liked what Battlefy did. They made a Discord channel and they opened up for questions. They were very pristine and very responsive. Then and know what they were talking about too. Then sometimes we saw admins in ESL not too sure what's going on, which we heard in the past. So I do want to say for like early feedback, even though the tournament ran long once again, as we've seen in the past, I see that more towards a Swiss style, Swiss format being the case, and not everyone knowing the rules and such like that. But I just want to say the early feedback was good. Now let's get to the gameplay. So going into your first, I guess, competitive event for MLB The Show, how did you feel? I was trying to play this weekend, but I wasn't able to. Didn't have the time to. But so I just want to hear, how did it feel going from like what you're used to being a Madden competitive event and now going to a different game for a competitive event being MLB The Show?
I mean, I feel bad for the MLB community. I do. Madden, we've done it for years. We got it pretty much figured out, right? You guys have been doing some stuff for some years now with ESL, and now you transition to Battlefy. You know, there's just a couple things that I think's bad. You can't announce a tournament and then say it's next weekend. You can't do that. People have lives. People have stuff going on. It was a 10-hour day to play, by the way, six games, play six games that are three. They're not nine-inning games. They're three-inning games. It took 9 to 10 hours. Of six games. That's unacceptable on its own. But to tell people that, hey, you know, there's a tournament next weekend. I know they have other qualification days. I know, but the first one, you know, hey, it's next weekend. It's like people have jobs, you know, like the Rebels, you know, he got to play, but the older generation, you know, like the older people, like the kids, who cares about the kids, bro? Like they need to stop playing games. There needs to be a 25 age limit, bro. Get them out of here. No, I'm joking, but you know, cause they are unbelievable. They're unbelievable. And, but I didn't like that. There needs to be more time. You need to announce this 3 months ago and say, hey, mark your calendars for these dates, ask for time off on a Saturday, whatever you have planned. And you know these times are locked in. You know, I didn't like that. And what I also didn't like was I don't mind having a long day to play. Okay. I really don't. Like the 9 hours, I didn't mind it. But don't tell me that I have a game at 2 and then the next game's at 3. So I'm sitting there waiting for 3 to come. But actually, they keep delaying it an hour and another hour. I'd be cool if they told me my first game was at like 12. Okay, second game's not till 2. All right, I got some time. After I play this 20-minute game, I can go do something for an hour. I can go do something. But I'm sitting here at my desk just staring at the Discord. By the way, the Discord was good. And at the same time, it was very toxic because those kids typing in the chat were wild. Let me just tell you, we were reading that Discord. Yeah. Those kids need to take a deep breath. They really do. And, you know, those are my complaints. I feel like these are complaints that can be fixed. You know what I mean? It's not like they're unfixable. I mean, give the players a little bit of time to adjust their calendars to compete. And, you know, like you said, some people didn't know the rules. You know, it's just part of it. You know, Sunday was ran way better, you know, because you eliminate the people that don't know what they're doing. Sunday, they said Sunday was so smooth. And so, but that's about my only feedback on that. So there you go.
Let me ask you, how do they do for Madden? Like, do they do something similar to like these qualifying, or how does you get into like, say, the final event? Like, so I'm not too keen on it. So just curious.
What they did in the past, only 8 people make the live event. You start with like 4 from Xbox, 4 from PS4, whatever it is. And we have leaderboards. Leaderboards are freaking great, by the way. We had leaderboards, and if you were like top, I'm just going to make up a number here, like top 150 on that leaderboard. By the way, the leaderboards lasted for like a month or two. So you had a month or two of grinding. So if you had to take a day off, you know, it won't hurt you, because if you're good, you're going to make 150 in about a month or two span. And so then we would have a single elimination tournament or double elimination. And they would say, hey, the first round games have to be played from 7 to 8. Then the second round has to be played from 8 to 9, and then we'll go into the next day. And if you weren't ready for those times, if you weren't ready, you didn't get to play. You know, you got DQ'd. So you had to play in these times. You win the next day, and as soon as we got to the final four for PS4 and then for Xbox at the time, PS4, those 8 people will be flown to the live event. And then, you know, their schedule times on when we play our games. You know, it was super smooth. I'm sure you guys have talked about the topic of like a weekend leak ish, right? I know Scuffy. I've seen y'all's posts on Twitter. Leaderboards are just amazing. The only reason why I think people are scared of leaderboards are for the booters out there, for the scumbags that want to fix the system, freeze the game. I think they just don't want to go through that headache, because there was a time, and I'm sorry if I'm speaking so long. I apologize. I know I'm rambling right now about this. Back in Madden 17, in Madden 17, this was the perfect format. To this day, everyone will say Madden 17, Madden 17, Madden 17. If you were top four on that leaderboard on your console, after all that grinding for 2 months, you actually got to skip single elimination and went straight to group play. It rewarded you for being good at the game and a grinder. Because like we talked about with a three-inning game, any fluke can happen in three innings, right? Any fluke can happen in a Madden game. But they let us, if you showed you were a top player every day, you got to go straight to group stages. It was awesome. Because once you get the group stage, top two out of the four in the group make it to the live event. So I could slip up and lose a game and go 3-1 in my group, but still make it. And I feel like if MLB The Show had any kind of leaderboard, they'd be surprised on how smoothly it would be ran once you got to the tournament. But like I said, they're scumbags everywhere, and people are going to cheat that system. They just are. You see it. You see it with people going 12-0. You know they boon people offline back to back to go 12-0 and get those cards, freeze-offs after freeze-offs. It just sucks because I truly believe that's why EA went away from the leaderboards, because we used to do it. Now we don't. Now we actually, you know, I didn't compete last year, but there was Battlefy. Battlefy was in Madden last year for the first time.
Okay. And it was like the same type of format, like we did in Swiss, or?
No, we didn't have to wait. That's the thing. That's where I think they messed up and they didn't. Yeah. With MLB The Show, everyone had to wait for those first round games to be done. For Madden, you just kept playing. So as soon as you won or lost, you just hit up the search key.
Oh, really?
And you just keep going. You keep going. You just play as much as you want.
So they've been doing like the same format for years now, where they do the Swiss format, where you have to wait for everybody's game to be done before you can play the next one. And the first qualifier usually is the one that has the most amount of attention. It has the most people playing. Like, I think there were 6,000 people that signed up for this one. And you get 6,000 people matched up for 3-inning games at the top of every hour. And these games are on Legend. A lot of the people playing in the tournament may not have even realized the games were on Legend to begin with. And then so sometimes they might not even be able to score by the end of the third inning, let alone the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. That extends the games even more. It's just there's so much room, or there's so much time that's just dead space between these. I would love it if, like you said, in Madden, as soon as you're done, you're ready to play your next game. You can just go. I think that's one of the reasons that turns off a lot of people from playing in these tournaments to begin with, because it actually is one of the reasons it turned off me from playing in this qualifier, because playing in the ones in the previous years, I know how much of a time commitment it is. And I get it. Like, you can't always avoid certain like downtime or dead periods between the games. But I just wish there was a more streamlined way to make this happen, and a more streamlined way to, you know, get games quicker so people weren't spending 10 to 12 hours. I'm fine. You know, 5-6 hours, I'm totally cool with that. You know, 5-6 games, top of every hour, that's cool with me. But the extra half an hour, 45 minutes between rounds, that causes a lot of frustration for a lot of people. And if like you said, if there was a way to do it like Madden, where you can just play as soon as you're done, I think that would make this a lot more enjoyable and a lot more, or give people more of a open mind when it comes to these things, because people don't always want to give up their Saturdays. But you know, if you're playing for a spot in a $25,000 tournament, sometimes you got to make the sacrifices. So I don't know, there's two sides to
it. I agree with that.
What if they did like something like how we're saying with the leaderboard, like say if you had those 6 hours, all right, this is the span for 6 hours, we're gonna have a separate leaderboard through Battlefy, and you just play as many games as you can. And even if you beat, like, you get an opponent and someone quits, like, you're up, that's just showing the other opponent just skillful. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, say this guy played like 9 games, and most of the games he had people quit out where the other person maybe was like, he played like 6 of them, but he was 3. I don't know how to explain it fully. I'm just thinking out loud here.
Yep.
But yeah, I feel like the format is the reason. I mean, we were talking about this last week, where I was for ESL last year. I was up until like 6 a.m. when they did it late at night. I mean, thankfully they did it during the day now. But still,
6 a.m.?
Yeah, 6 a.m. for the first qualifier last year I was up to.
What?
And that was it. Because they started it up late. I think they usually started, last time they started at like 6, 7, I forgot. It was at night. It wasn't during the day. And it was like the same thing, just stuff was happening. Either people don't know the rules or waiting for games. And don't forget,
that was with ESL. And that's with a worse rule set, with the Battle Royale drafts and you know, the perfect umpires being off and wind being on and all the non-competitive things. And you're dealing with that for that many hours. Dude. Uh-huh. Yep. At least that's one thing that we could say is a positive about this, too, is that the rule set was much better, I think.
They do, like I said, they do listen to feedback. I think it's more the style of the tournament now that's holding it back with the Swiss. But I like how you, like you guys said, just continue playing once you're done. Or like how Skimbo was saying with the Madden 17, maybe they just give you a period of time. Everything gets locked through BattleFi. Just play as many games as you can, and they'll go by strength of schedule. And by your, I guess your wins, your record by then, you do something like that, maybe. It's, I mean, like, that sounds like a weekend league, doesn't it?
Kind of, in a way, it's like this.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. When you guys get on, like, what's your like, everyone's different. What's your grind to grind this game? Is it content? Is it your chat? Is it to be competitive? Right. And we're talking about competitive right now, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. What is a, I don't know, little man, which he's a TikTok. I always use him because he's an example in DGOS. What's their grind right now to be good at this game? What is it? I mean, I don't know. Is there even one? Like, to really just grind the game? Mm-hmm. You know, you just found out a week or two ago there was a little bit of a grind. You got this $25,000 tournament. Oh, let's lock in. I told my chat this. I'm a super competitive guy. Whatever I do, I want to be the best at. I really do. Even when it comes to the Xbox BR, yes, I'm a Mickey Mouse guy, and I thrive off of it. Give me those Mickey Mouse kits. I love it. Give me those Xbox kits. But it's like, what's the drive? Like, if they would have said there was a tournament 3 months ago, and this would have been here on Legends, I would have been playing Legends every day. And so would a lot of other people. A lot of other people would be like, oh, wait, there's this prize pool here, and I know it's in 3 months. I'm going to grind. But what's your – like, you – for competitive guys, and I know it's a small percentage, but if they're going to do a tournament, they should try to do it a little bit more in favor of the competitive people. Give them something to play for every day for a month or two. Give them a leaderboard, you know, give them an every Sunday or Saturday leaderboard. And then you calculate it at the end of the month or two, do like 4 or 5 weekends of it. And, you know, give them a grind like every day. Hey, I'm booting up. I'm not just booting up for content, which I am. I'm booting up because I'm trying to get good at this game, because I know there's a tournament, there's a leaderboard, and I got to be on my stuff on Saturday or Sunday. Now I'm really locked in. It gives me a purpose, a grind. I talk about this with Madden. Man, if they brought back leaderboards, a top 4 leaderboard, I would boot up every day, and people would like, you know, because people like seeing me do competitive Madden. You know, I do entertainment Madden too. I have fun with my chat. But at the end of the day, that's what made me, is being a competitive Madden player. And if I was to load up every day, and I love it. Some people get burnt out by it, but I do not. If I was to load up every day, I'm like, all right, boys, we got to get this top 4 today. We got to go at least 7-0 today. People would be locked in like, come on, man, you got to go 7-0. Like, it's just like every day. And if I lose a game, like, hey, we cannot lose another game. It's like I'm locked in. I'm so locked in. And it's just, it's so much fun. People don't realize how fun it. The people who played Madden back then, they realize how fun it was. And if they brought this to the MLB people, you're going to have those people that are going to say it's just too much of a grind. You're going to get that because we got that Madden. Oh, I just didn't want to grind every day. Well, you don't have to grind every day to be top 256. You had to grind every day to be top 4. That's what you had to grind every day for, is to get that top 4 spot. If you want to just make the tournament, you ain't got to play every day. You could play maybe twice a week, to be honest. And like, so that's just my feedback. If they do want to go that route, that's what made Madden so much fun. And I know it would make it a lot of fun for MLB players too.
Oh, for sure. I like everything about it. Let me ask you, this is more not towards the competitive. Let me just say, in watching, how does it feel like from what, I mean, I watch Madden Esports, even though I'm not really into the game. I just love the competitive, just love watching competitive games being played on Madden, doesn't matter, 2K, and MLB The Show. Right. Let me ask you the difference between watching a Madden competitive game towards an MLB competitive game. How did it feel like watching the difference? Like, is there a difference between, well, I'm sure there's a difference because they're different video games, but is there a different vibe, or is it like, what do you think is, not going to say more entertained, like, but I'm just very curious of the overall vibe that it gives you from one to another.
You know, when it comes to Madden, we talked about this a little earlier. I got to act like I'm the man, right? Because, so quote unquote, at times I am, but I have to act like it. When I was watching the MLB, MLB competitive, I'm smiling right now because I felt like a little kid. I was just in freaking all of these kids, dude. Like, they're so good. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I was so excited. I watched some other people stream MLB during the week. It's cool. You know, 12-0 run. You know, I want to watch that. But you're playing ranked seasons, like, it just feels so repetitive. You're just playing some ranked seasons, you know. But when I was watching these kids play this weekend, I was locked in. I couldn't get away from my screen. I couldn't. And you saw the view count. Heck, for me personally, when I stream MLB, I get 200 to 300 when I stream. When I streamed the tournament on Saturday, I was up to 600 to 700 without a raid, watching me do MLB competitive. So there is an audience out there, obviously, that likes watching this stuff. And, you know, I had so much fun watching the tournament. It's completely different. And people feel like if you're good at a video game, you should be good at another one. Dude, the skill set you have to be good at Madden compared to the skill set you have to be good at MLB The Show is the most different thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not like it doesn't even matter. Like, it just doesn't. Like, you have to have perfect PCI placement, timing, you know. It's just, it's such a different skill set. That's besides the point. But as far as watching a competitive Madden game and a competitive, like, a tournament MLB, it felt the same to me. I was full with excitement. I was so excited watching these kids ball out. Once we got to the final 16, like, oh my God, dude, like, these kids are unreal.
And when they go back and forth, it's nuts. Like, when you see one of those classic games, we saw Zoe, I think it was last year? There was a classic game between Zoe and someone else in the ESL tournament that they were going back and forth. Like, Zoe would put up like 5 runs, and all of a sudden his opponent put up like 6, and then they go back and forth. I love the high scoring games in MLB because it just, when the PCI is actually rewarding you for your skill input and it's showing that, it just becomes who's going to drop first, who's going to give up first, and it's just not give up first, but who's going not to be able to respond. And it's just a lot of fun to watch, man. We're talking about before this podcast with Darius and Bitru in the 2019 finals were back and forth. I think it was like a 21-20 game in the game 3, which was absolutely it was so much fun. And now, like I said, I would love to see that in like a live event, see how that goes, like just a back forth game like that. But that's me.
That's insane.
Question for both of you guys. How did you guys think, or how did you guys feel about the rule set and the like the team requirements and stuff? Because I saw a lot of people frustrated about the parallel system and inside edge counting towards the overall, because, you know, it basically, if you have a gold card, if you have a 79 overall silver and you've played with them a lot in BR and they're up to a gold, that card would count as a gold. So some people were saying, it feels like I'm getting screwed out of using some of these cards because I just play the game a lot and I use these guys a lot, and now I can't use them in a $25,000 tournament. So I'm just curious what you guys thought about that, because I didn't play. I watched a little bit, but I felt like there were certain cards that I was expecting to see used by a lot of people that weren't, just because of the parallel system and what they what those cards kind of evolved to. So I'm curious both of you guys' thoughts on that.
You can go first, Kimball. I'll go after.
I thought the format was awesome. The team building was so cool. I thought it made me think of Madden, the salary cap, but I was upset. I play a lot of BR And I will say my cards that were paralleled up, I think it was like Yermin Mercedes, a catcher, or Ruiz. I don't know who it was. That would have been a perfect gold catcher at 83 overall because, or whatever he was. But because I have him paralleled up to Max and his inside edge, he was no longer, I couldn't use him, you know. And that, and there were some people I saw that got to use him. And I was like, that's kind of unfair. I grind the game on BR. So, you know, I felt like that was a disadvantage for me personally. I don't know how I feel about that. Maybe they should just go with their the original overall and not the paralleled if they're going to do 84. Maybe they shouldn't count the parallel. I don't know. You guys know more about this game than I do. I'm just speaking from what I saw. But I love the team building. But it was just kind of whack. You know, Hunter Renfroe could play, and then the next game Hunter Renfroe was paralleled up and he couldn't play, so I got to redo my team, which is also cool at the same time. It's also it's honestly kind of cool at the same time. Like, okay, I gotta be a good team builder. I gotta be able to find my team and make this adjustment here. It's like an injury. How is, you know, there's two sides of this. You can think it's cool because of that way, or you can say I designated my team for this tournament like this. I've used this team. Why should someone be taken away from me? So there's an argument on both ends, in my opinion, on that.
I agree. I kind of wish that wasn't part of it. I mean, for me personally, I was planning to play on Saturday, but other plans got in it. But I never paralleled Edward Cabrera, so I had him at 94. So he was in my slot for 94, because if I paralleled him, he would have been like 95, and then he would have to be. So that was like advantage to me. I wish there was some way to actually just take parallels out of it. Have it just be the base overall card. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't have IE, don't have parallels affected when you play in a tournament play. But fortunately, I think that has to be like an in-game mechanic where you match up with the games like we saw last year with BR. You can't really do it now, but maybe that's something in the future. Like, we'll actually have the integration like we did with ESL with Battlefy next year, and then you actually go into that. Because last year, Skimbo, with ESL, we had the BR format, which wasn't fun upon pretty much because of the randomness of the draft and then the rule set. But one good thing was that you go into it was like a game mode. You go into a particular you go into tournament app and then you match up within game, and it reports automatically for you. You don't have to upload anything. So maybe if they do something like that for Battlefy next year, they could remove the parallels in IE, so you just work with the base overalls. But for the roster restriction itself, I mean, we kind of talked about this last week on the podcast itself. I love it. This was similar to 19. And I actually had fun with ESL in 19 when we did the roster requirement. So, like you said, it's team building. It's like BR kind of, but you're just building up your team. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely agree with both of you. I'm more of a, I see the argument on both sides, but I also think that straight up, if parallels and inside edge are going to be as, you know, big of a feature as they've been all year, I think they shouldn't matter as much when it comes to the tournaments, because I mean, to be honest, you know, with it being on Legend, a lot of people are going to need all the help they can get to get any sort of runs. So I mean, if you have to use an 83 overall catcher that's boosted up to an 87 because you've played well with that card and you feel comfortable with that card in a competitive environment, I think you should be able to use that card personally. And, you know, that would go for a lot of the players that may not be as good at the game. Like they need any sort of help they can get any runs, especially against the caliber of pitching you're going to face. At the end of the day, the best players are going to be at the top of the tournament. The best players are going to make it the deepest into the run. So, you know, I don't think a couple overall points are going to matter too much in the grand scheme of things for them. I'm with you. I still think the best way to do it is literally just have it event style. Just say, hey, your team overall has to be 93. Here's your inventory. Don't go above 93. Boom, build your team. You can choose if you want to go heavier on the offense, if you want to go heavier on the bullpen or the rotation, whatever it is. Like, just you build your team the way you want it. Just meet this one requirement and boom, you're good to go. So I don't know.
I'm with you. We had this idea for quite a while. Even like you said, they could give us a set inventory of cards to use, so everyone gets the same set, so it evens out the playing field. And no paywall, even though there's no really paywall in MLB, but still, or you just choose from. Yeah, but that's, I think, the best way to go.
It sounds like what y'all want is what they did with Madden for years, honestly, except I don't know how it's going to be this year. So y'all are having all these ideas on how to do it. I mean, in Madden, one tournament was on Draft Champions, which is like VR. One tournament, mm-hmm. we had four tournaments every year. One tournament was on Draft Champions like VR. One tournament was on salary cap, which was like what we just played. You know, we had to keep it under a cap. Yeah. Do we go heavy on offense? Do we go heavier on defense? And then the last tournament was Ultimate Team, which is your God Squad. And, you know, I mean, it sounds like MLB just needs to have four tournaments and have, you know, four different styles and you guys have mm-hmm. fun. How great would that be for you guys? I'm sure you guys would love that. But, you know, then the prize pool comes in. Do they want to cut one tournament for $10,000? Like, I don't know what their budget is. Heck, they should have a big budget if I'm being honest. But it sounds like that's the kind of format you guys want. But there's some people like this year, people loved Ultimate Team and they wanted nothing but Ultimate Team tournaments, which is 99s everywhere. But people like me and my friend named Dubby, okay. we love the team building. We love that stuff because it's a knowledge gap. All of a sudden, you got to know the glitchy cards, who has a good swing. Like, I grind this game. I know the ins and outs. I know which gold is really good. I know which silver pitcher can hold his own. You know, I think it rewards the grinders there compared to, like, a Diamond Dynasty 99 overall. But, like I said, it sounds like you guys want a Madden format, in my opinion. You want four tournaments, and heck, let's just have fun, and let's have fun with three or four of the tournaments and have them all different styles.
I'm all for anything. I just love seeing just competitive gameplay in MLB Show, to be honest with you. It's something I really enjoy watching, especially like we see the top players going out after this weekend. But yes, Gimbal, this was very insightful. I really say it, like I was saying before, I didn't know much about like the Madden background on how everything works and go from there. So just seeing the comparison between the two was a lot of fun to learn today.
You know, we used to have, and I left this out because I won two of my belts like this, regular teams, which I was always like the Kansas City Chiefs or Seahawks. And I don't know if you guys would ever want to do that. The reason why we don't do that anymore, though, is because it was always Chiefs versus Chiefs. Chiefs versus Chiefs. Would you guys get Dodgers versus Dodgers? Mm. Dodgers versus Dodgers. No one wanted to see 30 games of nothing but Chiefs versus Chiefs. We were sick of it. So I forgot to mention that mode. We did have that mode, and then they took it out. So, yeah.
The regs I would like to see, this is how I did regs tournaments for the past couple of years, is... All right, you have a home team, you have a away team. Well, you have two teams. You flip the coin to see, not to flip. Whoever is the highest seed could either choose the matchup or being home. Those are two big things. So say you choose the matchup, you choose two teams. The other team gets to choose the first team of the two, and you get the other team, and you be home. So
that's unique.
I like that type of format for regs.
That's unique. Yeah, that's very unique.
It is. I've seen this Tecmo Super Bowl. Tecmo Super Bowl has these big tournaments. I'm not so sure if they still do it in Madison, Wisconsin. And that's the format they use. I was like, that's a really good format. They choose one guy chooses the matchups and the other guy chooses the first team of the matchup and then they play. It brings an extra element. I mean, you have to strategize not only with the regs, like knowing that you can't just do two, like one bit good team and one worst team. You got to really think about it, do like two even teams and knowing that you'll be comfortable with either with or either one. Something like that. So
that's a cool idea.
So I don't know. That's me. Kuz, you got anything else? I think we covered everything today.
No, man. I think we had some good back and forth with how competitive games work in different titles, especially sports games. It's cool to kind of see what it's like on the other side and how things can be implemented over here. What ideas can be shared between the two games? So, yeah, I think we got some good information and some good insight in this one.
Yeah, I do too. Now, Skimble, where can everyone follow you? Either Twitch, YouTube. Let me hear it. Twitter.
I keep it all the same, dude. Appreciate the plug. Skimbo 23 with three O's, 23 on everything. You know what, man? This is off topic, dude, again, but becoming an MLB streamer the last 4 or 5 months has made me a better streamer. because when I stream Madden, I don't have to read the chat. It is flying by. People are just lurking me. You know, I had 500 to 600 every time I go live. Sometimes I'd hit 1,000, whatever. And I was just streaming. You know, I come over to MLB, you know, I'm sitting around 200, you know. And this is the small streamers out here real quick, because it taught me this lesson. Don't ever be discouraged about your numbers. I know this is completely off, whatever, but because you're cheating the people that are rocking with you. So just because I'm sitting at 150, 200 viewers, like, what about those 150, 200 viewers and they're watching me? You know what I mean? Like, why am I cheating them? They're giving me their time. Why can't I give them my time? You know, why am I being too big of a big dog for them because I don't have the numbers I'm used to? And so that's my biggest advice to small streamers. Even if your numbers aren't there where you think they should be, do not cheat the people that are in your chat rocking with you, because they're rocking with you. And those are your loyal people right there. And if you get bigger, you get bigger as it goes on. But do not cheat the people that rock with you. And I know that's off topic, but that's something I wanted to say, because coming over to MLB, I had to really grind, dude. I really did, to try to have good streams, try to have good numbers. And it's made me just a better streamer. Like I said, Madden, that was easy to me. All I did was play the game. People love watching it. MLB, it was just a completely different vibe. And the MLB community is such a great community, because you guys are all you guys have. That's literally, I mean, you guys had no big tournaments. You have no like EA push. Like, you have SDS, but I don't know how much they're really pushing. You know, they give some money, but it's not like $1 million prize pool, you know. Then you got, you're on ESPN, you're on all these other, you know, with the MLB community, you guys are like such a great group of people. It's like, we you guys all have each other's backs. And that's the first thing I asked. I was like, where's the bad blood? I was like, because it matters. We got some bad blood, you know, it's like, hey, F, you know, you know, it's like, hey, I hope you do bad. I hope you do bad. You know, like, you know, this is my money. You ain't taking my money. And when I came to the MLB community, I asked, you know, where's the bad blood? They're like, there's hardly any. They're like, we're just, we all get along. I was like, well, that's pretty cool then. So, you know, the shout out to the MLB community, because you guys are honestly pretty dope.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better. I mean, it's been growing. I mean, think, Cooks, you gave me a comment, I think, just recently, how much it grown since, like, just over the years. And yeah, it's always been great.
Yeah, man. I mean, being in the community since 2016, it's pretty wild to see where it's come in 5 years. You know, the game's on a whole different console now. The game's on the next generation of consoles. You've got, you know, the amount of growth people have gotten. You got a guy like Kyle getting 10,000 subs on Twitch. You got, you know, Kevin and, you know, getting over almost 250,000 subscribers on YouTube, just like continuing to push things forward, man. And it's just, it's awesome to see everybody thriving off that. And I think one thing at the MLB, the show community realizes is that, you know, everybody eats. As the top guys continue to grow, the smaller, you know, middle tier size streamers, they continue to grow with it. Like, as long as there's growth, everybody's feeling it. So it's pretty awesome to see.
Oh, without doubt. Yeah. Couldn't say any better. And it's just going to continue growing, especially with now, like you said, being next generation. And it's like, that's the beauty of it. Like, everyone really does have everyone back. Everyone tries to root everyone on and celebrate the accomplishments of everyone. So, but yeah, Skimble, this was a lot of fun today, man. I appreciate you coming in and talking to, shop with us. And of course, I'm sure we'll have you back down road again. I would love to have you back on. And
you just hit me up, dude. I'm down anytime, man. I like this community a lot, man. I'm sad. I'll be honest. I'm going to leave it here in about 3 weeks and not come back for eight months. But
know what? We're going to be right with you, though. We'll be rooting you on and go from there. So that's the thing. Like, once you get your, like, going from one, you'll notice that there's going to be people from MLB that's going to be just being right with you, be your ride or die. So it's going to be great.
Dude, I found many of those people, honestly, in the MLB community. They liked my content and they didn't know who I was. That made me feel good. The people that didn't know my background in Madden, and they're like, all right, who is this guy? We kind of like his vibe. I'm like, I look at my channel, like, hold on, you don't know what I've done? They're like, nah. I was like, VIP, put him in the VIP. Like, you know, he rocks with me. He doesn't know anything about me. He subbed to me. He has no clue. I was like, yo, put him in the VIP, bro. That's what I like. So I love, I've had a couple people come that say they're coming with me to Madden. And man, I think streaming MLB was by far the best decision I ever made. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we love that you're part of the community now. So Once again, follow Skimbo on all of his accounts. It's Skimbo with three O's, 23. That's on his Twitch, YouTube, Twitter. So
don't call me Skimbo, because some people, when I go raid people, they see the three O's and they go, "Oh, thank you, Skimbo." I'm like, "Yo," like, I just laugh. I'm like, "Yo, I'm used to it." So my chat gives me crap. They spell my name with U's. Hello, Skimbo. I'm like, "Yo, what's up?"
Like, if I saw your name for the first time, just didn't know who you were, and I'm a streamer, I'll probably do the same thing. So I'll be guilty on that.
Love it.
That's the one thing I can't pronounce anything. But
yeah.
Like I said, this was a lot of fun. I'm sure we'll talk again in the future. And Kooks, that's going to do it for this week. Next week, we'll be talking about fifth inning program. And remember, last fifth inning program here, Kooks, we got Larry, Mo, and Poppy. Just give me a yes or no quick answer. Is it going to be better than last year for the fifth inning?
I don't know, Scuffy. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
That's a hard one to beat.
It is a hard one to beat, but we'll find out next week. Make sure to follow us along. We're at twitter.com/InsideTheShowPC. Once again, twitter.com/InsideTheShowPC, our official Twitter account. We're also on YouTube if you're watching us now, youtube.com/InsideTheShow. If you're not, sub over the channel and be free to ask us any questions over there. Follow my boy Kooks at twitter.com/Kooks46. I'm at ScuffyMcGeeTV. You guys have a great week and happy grinding for everyone that's going to do the fifth inning program. We'll see if it is indeed better than last year's program. Happy grinding, and see you guys next time on Inside the Show.